Recording in progress.
Recording in progress.
Hello, and welcome to Spooky Sips, where we put our love of horror movies into a podcast and sip some spirits along the way. I'm one of your hosts, Yvette, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Laura and Brianna. Hello.
Hey. Happy Halloween, Spooky Sippers. What a great day.
Yes.
So this year for Halloween, us Spooky Sippers, we always do a group costume with all of us. And we decided to go as Beetlejuice this year. And it was so much fun. If you haven't seen the photos, head over to our Instagram, Spooky Sips Podcast, and check them out. We did good. We did
Everyone's
good.
Everyone's costume turned out so good.
Yes.
I'm very happy with how they turned out. We had a party, and all of our guests just loved it. Mm-hmm. Those who knew Beetlejuice, I was very sad about the number of people who did not know who Beetlejuice was.
I honestly thought they were like lying. I was like, what do you mean you don't know what Beetlejuice is?
Multiple people were like, well, so what are you from Beetlejuice?
Like,
I've never seen it. And one person I actually kicked out of the party. I mean, I wasn't serious, but I was like, GTFO, get out of my house.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of my
You're
house.
You're done. So, listeners, if you don't know what Beetlejuice is, shame on you. Go watch it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's the spirits of this deceased couple, the Maitlands, that are in their perfect little home just wanting to enjoy some downtime together. They die in a tragic car accident, and then a new, unbearable family moves into their home. They've realized they are ghosts, and they decide they want to haunt this new family. And they find, through various ways, this guy Beetlejuice, who can help them with the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the movie is about. So go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah. So classic.
Mm-hmm.
So classic. So obviously we've all seen it before.
Yeah. Right.
We had all seen it. We'd all seen it together before. There's a reason we picked it for Halloween this year. And it's because all the costume design on the movie is great. Do you remember the first time you watched the movie?
I don't remember the first time I watched it, but I do remember watching it as a kid.
Okay.
So I was young when I watched it. And the reason I remember that is because there are certain parts of the movie, and now it was made in 88, right?
Yeah.
So now it's a little bit dated and, it's a little bit cheesy at times, but as an adult, like I can kind of just appreciate the artistic value. But as a kid, some of the scenes really scared me.
Yeah.
Some of the scenes when, you know, Beetlejuice becomes Snake becomes Beetlejuice. Like some things really scared me. So I think I was probably, I don't know, I want to say like 10, maybe.
Okay. That would be scary.
Maybe.
I can't believe this movie is rated PG.
Oh, I know. I think ratings have changed. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, it may not have been that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was in 88, which is a great year. That's the year Brianna was born.
Mm. Great year.
So I think I remember the first time, or at least one of the times that I watched it, because I was really little. Matt was not born yet. So I had to have been my brother under 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I loved the characters and like all the costumes in it, that like when they go through the doorway into like the land of the dead, I just remember I loved like all the costumes and like, cause the receptionist, Miss Argentina, which Yvette went as Miss Argentina, and did she pull it off or what? It was amazing. I remember how much I loved her outfit and her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I remember that being what stood out to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I watched it like later in life. Like I probably watched it for the first time just a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's one of those where it's like, wait, why hadn't I watched this yet? Like it's Tim Burton.
Right.
It's good. Like, I mean, I loved it, but I was an adult when I watched it for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm glad you mentioned that it's Tim Burton, because as we were talking about just the look of the movie and how things are, it's that classic Tim Burton feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just with kind of the quirky sets and colors and shapes of things.
Yeah.
It's
like everything is a little off.
Yeah.
You know, but
they're in the world of the dead, and they're in that one hallway, and it's like crooked, so they're like walking at a slant, and all the doorways are crooked. Like that is a very Tim Burton part of the movie, I feel like.
It reminded me of the movie theater that we talked about in our last episode.
I thought the same thing.
Where we were walking in that slanted hallway to get to the theater.
I thought the same thing.
For Friday the 13th.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The classic.
I love
movie.
It.
So, really, the movie starts out with our first and kind of the main deaths.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, we get them right off the bat.
Yep.
They're alive for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah. Seriously, honestly, I think like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. Because you kind of explained in the intro, there's this couple, Adam and Barbara, and they get 2 weeks off, but instead of going somewhere, they want to stay home. Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about this many times on our podcast where people can die.
Yeah.
And we're fine with it in the most horrific ways possible.
Yeah.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. But do not kill a dog.
Right.
No. Oh, yeah.
So I think this is probably what started my love for this movie and realizing it was going to be great because Barbara and Adam are driving their cute little yellow car. And they just had run some errands. So they're, I think, on their way home and they're going over this bridge and this little dog is in the road.
Yep.
So of course, Barbara swerves to avoid the dog.
Yep.
But because they're on this narrow bridge, he just goes right through the wall of the bridge and their car is like
teetering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Teetering.
Yes.
It's teetering. It's
with the dog holding up the weight.
Yes, the dog is the one keeping their life.
And this sweet little dog is
like, his little paws.
Okay, see ya.
Thanks, I'm out.
And they fall to their death.
And then you see them. I love this part. Like, you see them go back home.
Yeah.
And like, as the audience, we don't really know either what has happened.
No,
we're like, well, wait, why are they going back home? Mm-hmm. So I think us and the Maitlands think they're just back home. But there's a few weird things that happen.
Yeah.
You know, that like they can't see their reflection in the mirror.
Oh, at one point, that Barbara goes to, she goes too close to the fireplace and all of a sudden her fingers light on fire. And then she just blows them out. Like,
And then they're like, wait, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Do you remember coming home? Like, they're kind of realizing that something's off.
Exactly. And then they see this book, the book for the recently deceased.
Diseased.
Deceased.
But doesn't he miss
That's the joke.
It?
Yeah.
He read it.
That was perfect.
For the recently diseased. And she's like, yeah, so Adam reads it as diseased. And then Barbara's like, that's deceased.
Yeah, I didn't even, that wasn't even intentional. I mean, of course that was intentional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he opens it up and he kind of looks through it, but he's saying that it reads more like a manual. Like,
yes.
It's, you know, very
like long words, very
clinical. And right. Exactly. And you know, that's when Barbara is kind of like, Adam, I don't think we made it through that crash. Like, I think we're dead. Like,
part of what them, I think, discovering that they're dead too, is that he tries to leave the house.
Yes.
Yes.
That's so what we see the first.
So he tries to leave the house, but instead of it just being outside of their home, it's this sandy desert. Again, very Tim Burton style.
Yeah.
And there's this monstrous and scary sandworm.
Yeah, and he's black and white striped, and it's very, he's got like a head within a head, and he's very scary. Yes.
And there's just, I think part of what makes this movie so good is not only is just the visual effects from Tim Burton, but also the music.
Yes.
And I just ran to grab my, I got a record of it and I wanted to confirm that it was Danny Elfman who did the music. But it's just, it's so perfect and just sets the tone for the movie of being like, a little spooky, but more like silly and whimsical.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
No, exactly.
I think we kind of talked about it when we watched the movie, but the premise is really sad.
Yeah, you know? It is.
Like, this is a comedy, and you're mostly just laughing through it. But when you actually think about the plot, it's a really sad story.
No, there is.
I mean, it's a story about death, right, ultimately.
Right.
And so it is one of those, like, it's cool how they were able to take such a sad story with a hard topic of, hey, what happens after we die? But make it interesting and funny.
Exactly.
And the take on it is really interesting. It's like, hey, what if life after death was just mundane and you had to go see a receptionist and take a number to like get a caseworker?
Right. It's just another land.
It's just an interesting idea of like, yeah, what if it's just kind of like real life? Mm-hmm.
I thought
that was an interesting take on it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that we kind of get to see like what it is to be a ghost, mm-hmm. like what it would be like from the ghost's perspective, instead. Like we always see it as like the humans that are haunted,
mm-hmm.
but what about those that are doing the haunting? Like, yes, exactly. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. When I know part of the inspiration was like Poltergeist, but the idea of switching the script of what if the humans were the terrible ones?
Yes.
Like, I love that. They were the kind of annoying people in the house.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like a lighter version of The Others, which we've already done.
Yes.
So I actually never made that connection before. Yeah. It's kind of a similar thing where you're taking the ghost's perspective instead of the living people's perspective.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so much a surprise because we know right away
what's
happening in this mm-hmm. movie. So before Barbara and Adam have died, they're... neighbor or somebody, she kept trying to sell
the agent.
A local real estate agent. She's totally grimy. She sees nothing but dollar signs.
Yes.
She wants to sell their home. And they're saying, no, we love our home. Mm-hmm. We never want to leave it, which,
ironically,
a famous last words, I guess.
Yeah.
But then after they die, she ends up then selling the home. Mm-hmm. And she sells it to just these...
city slickers.
Yeah. The deepest.
Who, I mean, I think really they're supposed to be awful.
Yeah.
But honestly, I love them all so much.
I know.
All three characters are fantastic.
Yes.
Like, they're just great characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, because we were talking about the sandworm, mm-hmm. I was going to say, if any of you out there doubt our commitment to Halloween mm-hmm. and that we really, when we say we go all out,
mm-hmm.
we're not messing around.
No.
Laura actually has a sandworm.
Yes.
She got one, an actual, like... It's like a statue.
Yeah, it's not an inflatable.
No, it's not. So here's the thing that some people know about me. I hate inflatable decorations. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if you have one.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that they very rarely look cute. Every once in a while.
Right.
For the most mm-hmm. part. I am very anti-inflatable.
Okay. See, I like it because then you can store them.
Right.
Like, I agree. Reduce the air, mm-hmm. and then you put them away in one little box.
Yep.
I do agree with that, but also I thought, I don't care if I have to now just have a sandworm in my house.
Yeah, reduce now.
Is it now?
Yeah. Because I won't get an inflatable. So I got, it's plastic, but I've got a statue sandworm that you'll see in the pictures. Look on Instagram.
Yep.
We'll post some if we haven't already.
Yep.
But yes, we went all out with the Beetlejuice.
We're serious.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I think we should talk about the Dietzes now.
Let's talk about the Dietzes.
I love every single one of them.
So they move into the house, and just the minute they get there, we get to learn about each of their, like, character
mm-hmm.
and personality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've got the mom.
Yes, we have, she is Delia.
Delia
Dietz.
Yep.
And she is played by Catherine O'Hara.
Oh.
Who, if you're, younger, you probably know her as Moira from Schitt's Creek.
Right, yes.
Which she does a phenomenal job in that show, too. Not scary, but one of the best shows ever.
Yeah.
And she is just this eccentric artist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's a designer. She does sculpture and pottery and all of these.
Yeah.
Her fashion is always...
wild.
On point and wild.
And you can tell she's unhappy about leaving the city.
Yes, very.
Immediately she's like, house renovations.
Yep.
If you're going to force me to be out here.
Yeah, she even moves in her friend Otho.
Yes.
Who is the designer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they can redo the house together. So he also, we should have, he also.
Oh, true. There's a force.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she is married to Charles Dietz,
mm-hmm.
who is this just like Christmas sweater wearing
mm-hmm. khaki pants,
peace and quiet,
and wants to live in his wood library style study.
Look at the birds outside the window.
just some quiet.
As I get closer to 40, I find myself really appreciating birds. And they joke about it, right? You know, people joke about as you get older.
Bird watching
thing
sneaks up on you. You know,
all of a sudden. You aren't even wearing a sweater today.
Lady sweater today. It's cold out there, you guys.
It's a cold one.
And then we've
a couple years away, okay?
Yeah, you're fine. And then we've got my personal favorite character, obviously, is Lydia Dietz.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I dressed up as Lydia, and she is my spirit.
She is you.
Character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite line from her is, I too am strange and unusual, because I too I'm strange and unusual.
And you are.
Yeah.
And I just love her.
I think my favorite quote from her is somebody says something about like you're just in a dark room all the time.
And she's like, Charles says, oh, we can make you a dark room in the basement.
Oh,
she says, my whole life is a dark room.
Exactly. I think I've said that.
So she's so good. So she's Winona Ryder.
Yes, of course. A very young Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Perfectly. She plays it perfectly.
I must say, I know we are fresh off this Halloween party that we just had, so I know we're going to talk about this a lot. But Brianna, you just looked so much like her.
Oh, your makeup, you nailed it.
Your attitude.
The wig.
The wig. So and I even got a Polaroid camera to carry around all night to snap pictures of people.
Yes.
It was amazing. No, we pulled off the characters. Laura and her husband dressed up as Barbara and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And her dress was
you both nailed
so
it.
So perfect.
Because when I watched the movie, I kind of thought, wait, they just kind of look like people.
Right.
So for a second, I was kind of wondering what your costumes would look like. Mm-hmm. But you were in costume.
Yes.
Like, you guys nailed the look.
And it's funny because her husband is bald.
Yeah.
And he had this hair. I could not handle him. I couldn't take it.
I think it's all my
hair. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
So normally he has a bald head, but like a very nice full beard.
Right.
But he shaved. So my husband commits.
Yes.
Partially because I make him. But so he shaved his beard, but then put on the wig. And I did not. People came to the party and they didn't recognize either of us.
Yeah. Well, they didn't recognize. Well, mine was obvious.
Oh, right.
Because I was blue.
Right.
Yeah. So now we need to talk
about.
And
Matt was in a shrunken head.
Yes. And my husband was Beetlejuice.
Oh, good. Yeah, so I feel like my costume looked exactly like Barbara, but was easy.
Right.
Brianna, like, had to put some effort into, like, the personality. But
your
commitment
to your costume, y'all, you need to go look at it. It was
attention to detail.
Amazing.
There's a lot.
I mean, you had this beautiful, like, teal skin that you did, which actually looks like the color of our drink.
It does. It's
matched identical.
Oh my gosh.
You dyed your shirt sleeves to
have some mesh
and it was
stuff
perfect.
Under.
It was perfectly
it was
the
good.
Same.
Yeah.
Your cape that you made, it was just
yeah,
it was
cape.
Incredible.
Oh
the
my
neon
gosh.
Red hair, I think.
Oh, so you really pulled that hair off as well. So, and Laura, you pull off curly hair.
Honestly.
Very rare.
I like it.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, do we want to take a second to talk about what we're sipping on?
Because we're talking about the beautiful color of it. So we did sort of a half version of a recipe I found that was kind of like a Beetlejuice margarita.
Yeah.
So it's just an ounce and a half of tequila, an ounce of...
I say blue curacao.
Curacao? I thought it was curacao.
I don't know, but curacao, I said curacao.
Well, there's the
sea. So maybe it's curacao.
Like a goatee.
I'm probably the one that's been saying it wrong this whole time. So
the blue stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A half ounce of lime juice, an ounce of pineapple juice. We, for
you? For went. Right?
I was like,
I would say
the
for went.
The past tense to forego is it would be
for good?
For good.
No.
We forgoo. No.
We did not forgoo anything.
The glitter.
You forgooed a lot by the end of the party, but that's a different. That's
I mean,
a different story.
I was a little drunk. So, yeah, we did not do the green glitter, and we didn't do the the salt rim, but we put them in these beautiful skull glasses with these stripy
Beetlejuice-esque
straws.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have those. And then we also have Pina Colada ghost popsicles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're very good.
Part of the movie, they do this, they get possessed. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when they get possessed, they're singing this very, to me, feels like just this very kind of like tropical.
Yeah, I would agree.
So music.
I would agree.
And so that makes me think of Pina Colada. Mm-hmm.
100%.
Ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's the connection.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
So we've had multiple today.
Yeah.
And now it's a party.
Yeah. Exactly. It's Halloween.
It's actually Halloween, you guys.
Yeah, which is my favorite holiday. So
it's the happiest time of the year.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the Dietzes move in.
Yeah, the Dietzes move in. And they run, while they're touring the house, Adam and Barbara run up to the attic and lock themselves in there. So the Dietzes have not gone in the attic.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just hanging out up there.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're up there, they go into the other land now, or
it's pretty soon.
Yeah. So they do. So they find the handbook, but they aren't sure what to do. I think they actually try to just scare the Dietzes away first on their own.
Yeah.
So they, and this was actually a costume change that my husband and I had during the party. Where they just cut holes in sheets.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they go to try to scare the Dietzes away.
Mm-hmm.
And they are making these like moaning sounds to be like girls like, woo!
Oh. And this is my favorite part of the movie, where Lydia is in her bedroom and she can just hear the moaning. And so she goes over to the wall and she like pounds on the wall. She's like, knock it off. And she's like, I'm a child, for God's sake.
Well, so and then she has another fantastic quote after they've come out of the bedroom with the sheets on. Lydia sees them.
Right.
And realizing that they're not able to wake up. Wait, what's her name again? The mom's name?
Delia.
Realizing that they're not able to wake up Delia. And she says, oh, she's sleeping with Prince Valium tonight. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Which was so something that when I watched this as a kid, I never understood.
No.
Just over your head.
No idea.
The line, because it was just very memorable.
Yeah.
And comedic, like in the moment. You could tell it was funny.
Yeah.
Like,
I was thinking, what prince was she drawing? I could not figure it out.
Yeah, what does that mean?
But right. Now, I get it, obviously.
But yeah, she sees the sheets and she realizes, she takes pictures of them on her Polaroid, that they don't have
no feet
in the pictures. And she's like, well, wait a minute. And so she's like peeking under their eye holes, trying to see who they are, and kind of gets properly introduced to them.
Yeah. And she kind of explains to them that just the nature of her parents being kind of that more that city style of people, and they're about money. Mm-hmm. And she explains they're never leaving.
Yeah.
Like they are not going to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you're going to need to do more than, you know, moaning and sheets. Yeah. And also Lydia can see them. She can, we think we learned that a little bit later. She can fully see them.
Right.
She sees them even though they're in the sheets.
Yeah.
But her parents cannot see them.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
And that's when she's, at some point when she's explaining this, that's when she says that line, you know, people don't see the strange and unusual unless they choose to, but I myself am strange.
Yes.
So after that situation, then the Maitlands decide to go, consult with their caseworker.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That's when they go into the land. So they draw a chalk door on a brick wall and then they knock on it and say something. And then the door opens.
I think it just knocks. If you knock three times, because the number three is repeated a lot.
Very big.
In this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the door kind of opens with this misty green light through it. You know, you tell it's spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they go into the reception area.
Yeah.
nowhere we like see all the other people that are in it's, I mean, it looks like a doctor's office waiting room, but it's like haunted. Like yeah, it's right. scary.
Yeah.
Like,
right. It's scary. Yeah. Well, I think it's just, you know, everyone is there in the way that they died.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like that's, which it is one thing, with them dying by, you know, I guess drowning would be, mm-hmm. you know, after right. the car crash. Tim Burton did consider having them be wet because right. technically they would be
they
wet.
Should be.
That's what I thought. They should be.
I've always wondered that.
But they decided not to do it because it would just be too like difficult and uncomfortable
right.
to have them be wet in
the
every scene.
Night.
I also feel like that would just be so hard to film.
Yeah.
Because you'd have like wet spots probably
yeah.
from
yep.
the watch and stuff. So they decided to not do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand.
I understand, but I also think it could have been kind of cool.
Or maybe even if they were just wet when they went into that land.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have done that. Like when
yeah.
they cross the barrier to the
yeah.
living, the undead, like they could have
yeah.
just been wet
like,
back there.
Could have
there.
Been some like funny moments.
Yeah.
Too, with
that could have worked.
Them always being like wet.
Right.
With everything that they do.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
No, I totally,
mm-hmm.
I think that could have been really cool. Because
yeah.
I agree, everyone
yeah.
else is clear how they died.
Right.
Although like some people ended up being, you know, like as a vet dressed up as Miss Argentina. Some people ended up being blue or different
yeah.
colors. Or some people ended up being like extreme versions of what their death was.
Yeah.
Versus mm-hmm. others looked
mm-hmm. so it's
like
there wasn't a lot of rhyme or reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's all
that's,
art.
That's the whole
right.
point of the world.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So they meet their caseworker,
Juno,
mm-hmm. Who I also remember as a kid, like just thinking how cool it was that Juno, mm-hmm. I think she maybe died from being a smoker.
I would guess. Yeah.
And she'll smoke. So she'll take drags of her cigarette, but then the smoke comes out from her, like a hole in her.
Yeah.
Head.
She has like a,
yeah, like in a
treacle.
Oh, I guess they do. I forget if they just like make a comment about it, but they say it's like people who like complete suicide are government employees.
Oh,
and
yes.
They explain that
right.
at some point.
Like that's
so,
their
like,
version of
it. Yeah.
Hell.
Where it's like, yeah, you just have to like be a caseworker.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
I think that's how it
okay.
works.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because like Miss Argentina,
yeah.
well, you know, mm-hmm. was suicide. So
yeah,
yeah that,
mm-hmm.
that, yeah. And also I will say that's one thing that like, caught me off guard rewatching this movie at this age is like suicide jokes don't cut it
yeah.
anymore. Like
mm-hmm.
in the way that they make
yeah.
mm-hmm. jokes about it. Like you can't, that
yeah.
humor is no longer appreciated. So if,
yeah,
yeah.
no,
so
I
trigger warning, like
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I know. And
like,
it's
like,
just,
I forgot that that was even mentioned.
Yeah. Like my husband and I were talking about the fact that like, yeah, you just can't
no
make
yeah.
those type of jokes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just not how people reference it like
again
nowadays.
This is a PG movie. This
right.
is rated PG.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
It absolutely covers way darker
yes.
topics than the rating
oh,
would
oh,
really let you believe.
Yes.
Can you imagine watching this with a kid? Like,
no, I know. I mean I know watching it as a kid. And, right.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing that's so interesting about movies is that there's the way that this is done, it's a little subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you as kids, I did not get,
yeah,
you
appreciate
know,
any of that
suicide. I did get that there was death and that
right.
it's done in almost this, I said this before, this whimsical way.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it almost like, I kind of like it because the adults can get something deeper out of
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
the kids
just take it
so
at surface
subtly,
level.
Like they're just like, oh,
yeah. What's it? Oh, it was one line that someone mentioned. So like as a kid, it's like, you're not paying attention to every detail,
exactly.
but yeah, as an adult, you catch it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get more layers of the movie.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they go and they meet Juno and then they kind of end up back in, you know, they talk to her for a while, but then they go through this door and they end up back in their house, but you can tell time has passed.
Yeah.
Do they say, was it like
oh, it was
3 months?
3 months.
Okay.
3 months.
So they were waiting in there for 3 months.
And this whole time they were getting a lot of sass for not reading the book.
Yes.
I mean,
everyone was
yes.
like,
Mr. Gentino was like, well,
read
the
book.
You know,
I know.
Juno was like, it's all in the book.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
You have
yeah.
this literal handbook.
Yeah.
We just see
right.
And you haven't read it, but they Barbara and Adam kind of explain like they try to read it and it reads like stereo manual
yeah.
instructions or something like
yeah.
it's like.
But then Lydia even reads it.
Yeah,
right? They're like, wait, you understand it? And she's like, yeah,
yeah,
just read it.
I just read it. Like,
yeah. oh, we should mention while they were in the waiting room, they did come across the character that Matthew dressed as. Mm-hmm. There's this guy, and he's it's like the costume is so ridiculous. But he's just this guy with a shrunken head, which, you know, is maybe not something that, again, would fly today, but it was just like so cool looking. Yes. There's a, this guy with those like big shoulders and this tiny head.
Yep.
And we maybe need to do a close-up picture that we can post on our Instagram.
We can do that.
I know. Because Matt and Yvette made the head out of, what was it? Clay.
With dry clay. Oh my gosh.
It looks...
There's a lot of hot glue going on, keeping it together, but I think
Like a close-up picture?
I'll take one.
I got one of him asleep in the backyard.
Yeah,
he was, I might be able to close up.
Advantage of the fact that no one could see his face, and I think we just take little naps.
And we just all realized Matthew has not moved for a while, and I think he might be asleep under there.
That's so good. Honestly, respect.
I know.
Something to keep in mind if you like taking little naps during parties.
So yeah, they're back in the house, and the Dietzes have like redone the whole, or Delia really,
yeah,
and Otho have redone the whole house.
Just like the most ridiculous skateboard.
Yeah, it is absurd and like, obscene. Like I don't know
how. It's like obscene modern. I don't know how to.
It's like what someone in the late 80s would have thought was modern.
Yeah, definitely.
And that is a wild.
But then also tacky.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was amazing.
Juno tells them, like, you just need to try harder.
Mm-hmm. You need to be scarier.
Read your manual and then come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in 100 years or something.
Like, they do practice how to be scary so they are able to just as ghosts, as you know, people that are not alive, they're able to kind of manipulate their non-bodies in a way that, you know, us humans cannot. So they like pull apart their faces and they make it all scary. Which you'll again go look at pictures of us on Instagram.
So your guys' commitment to the costume change,
amazing.
That was my favorite moment of the party. So my husband and I are dressed up as the human version of Barbara and Adam. And then after a little while, we went and we did a costume change where we kept the same costume, but we put the masks on. And as we came out, it was almost like I was a celebrity.
It was.
The crowds parted for us.
They did. The crowd went wild.
Everyone turned. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. It's really hard to breathe in those costumes.
You got applause.
I scared a child.
You did. There was scare a child, the shit that was out of a child. And no, she didn't care.
She had to be later the night. It was
they made up.
But no, it was so their masks or whatever, their faces were pretty scary.
But like nothing is working.
Yes.
And so I think it's not until their possession scene, right? When Delia has guests over.
Well, are we thinking about when we finally meet the titular?
Yeah.
So I think that's slightly before the possession.
Yes, oh, okay. I think so. Yeah. Okay. I think I think at that point they're like, we need help. And I think they had already seen his like weird commercial.
He had a weird commercial.
Mm-hmm. Adam is a super nerd and he has made a model replica of the town that they live in. Mm-hmm. Like, identical to their town.
Yeah.
So this is up in the attic where kind of Barbara and Adam are like hiding out because that's the only place that the Dietzes cannot go.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have a key. It was like, break down the door, you guys. It's your house. But anyway.
That just tells you the type of people that they are.
Right. They're like, who cares?
Yeah.
So in this model replica, they see like signs of something's happening. Like there's a light blinking.
Yes. Yes.
And so they go to check out what it is. And there's this like miniature Beetlejuice head. And he is hanging out in their town. And he is so funny.
It's too much.
He is like Michael Keaton absolutely nailed this character. He is
so well.
It's so good. Well, and even before, the commercial that comes on their like TV or something earlier, we don't know it at the time, but he's in the model.
Right.
Because you see the foam grass and everything. So that gives us like a little bit of a hint about the fact And then Juno later mentions, like, I think he's hanging around, like, near you guys. So I think the idea is, like, Beetlejuice has been, like, stalking them. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, been waiting for his moment to come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He needs someone to say his name three times so he can leave the world of the dead and come into the world of the living, which is his goal. And that, like, you were just talking about, like, he's in the model. And I just, it's something that I have to live with my whole life. But Jaden quotes that line all the time where he's like, nice fucking model.
But he's actually swearing, does he? Yes. It is one of the very, very few PG-rated movies that gets away with saying fuck.
I was here just quoting the line that Jaden, because Jaden will be like, honk, honk, nice fucking model.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wait, Jaden must be misquoting or I must be misremembering because there's no way he could say it. But he does.
Yes. No, ratings were different.
Yeah. So, okay, there's kind of like a fun fact with this one. So first of all, Michael Heath nailed the character. He helped design he came up with the visual.
I heard that.
Of Beetlejuice.
Perfection.
Like, he told them, like, oh, I want you to make it look like I have like mold growing on me, and like get like clothing from a bunch of different time periods because he's kind of supposed to have been around for a while. So he designed the character. He also ad-libbed like 90% of his lines.
Did he really?
He just made them up. So with that scene in particular, as it was written in the script was that Beetlejuice kicks the tree, but the tree doesn't fall. But when they were filming, he kicked the tree and the tree fell over. So he looked to the person who made the set and said, nice fucking model. And then grabbed his crotch twice. Tim Burton loved it so much. Originally it wasn't in the movie. He decided to just leave it in the final cut.
Oh my god.
That was just him talking to the person.
The guy. Oh my gosh.
That is, I mean, I hear that line from that movie.
Right.
All the time.
Oh, that's amazing.
So originally it was just going to be a blooper, but he liked it so much that he left it. And honestly, that's an iconic.
It is.
It's like so
when
funny.
You say Beetlejuice, you think of that scene.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah.
What a fun fact.
Oh my god.
It's really a fun fact. So yeah, we might be getting like some of our like timelines.
Yeah, so don't worry about our interpretation of the timeline.
It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah.
Just talking about
the Go movie. Watch it yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, so they meet this like just ridiculous character. And it's so funny because Michael Keaton, I know especially in this time, he was in so many things.
Yeah.
But I always think that I must be misremembering this movie because I think that's not Michael Keaton because he so transforms into Beetlejuice.
Yes.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
He's not like Michael Keaton.
Even just like visually, it's like, I can't make that connection.
No.
You know,
no.
When you see him without all the makeup and stuff, it's like, no, that's not you.
No, it's wild. Hold on. What are you looking at?
I'm sorry. I'm having a, what's his name? The dad?
Charles,
there's a giant bluebird in your tree and he's really pretty.
Yes, we do get a pretty bluebird.
Okay, so I feel like now we can get in to the dinner party.
Yes.
Because I feel like this scene that we're about to discuss is like so Beetlejuice, movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what you think of when you think of this movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they have, Charles and Delia have, who is it that's over?
It's his
boss. And then like,
it's like a boss or like a business.
Yeah, and then there's like a lawyer. Like, I think he's,
and then there's another, someone from like an art magazine.
Oh, that's right.
Or an art something.
Maybe her agent?
Yeah.
Like,
her agent is definitely there.
Yeah, okay.
Her agent's there. Mm-hmm. It's the city people.
Yes,
who they've convinced to come out into the country and to visit them.
So they're having this dinner party and they've got these bowls of shrimp with
the
biggest prawns you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Delia starts to sing instead of
in this like stereo voice. Like she is like very and they're all looking at her kind of like uncomfortably,
how are you doing? But it's such good acting because it's like you can see the characters, they alternate between just like rocking out and then like looking around like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I rocking out right now?
Yes,
because they little by little they all start to like dance and tap and join the song until they are all singing.
Yes.
And they all like step out of their chairs and they're like dancing around the table now.
Shaking their booties.
Yes. Yep. And then is the shrimp the first thing to happen? Like the scary, is that the scary?
Yeah, I think kind of at toward the end of their performance,
yes. Yeah.
The shrimps kind of turn into almost like hands, mm-hmm. and they reach up and they grab their faces and they mm-hmm. pull their faces into the bowls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the point of it was Barbara and Adam were like finally being scary.
Yes.
So at the end of the dinner party, Barbara and Adam were like,
they're so good.
Yeah, they run upstairs and they're so excited and they're like, they run to the window and they're like, okay, they're about to run out any moment.
Yeah, yes.
And they're just waiting.
Yeah, waiting outside the window or by the window.
Yep.
So one thing with the scene, Tim Burton didn't really know how to feel about it. He thought it wasn't funny, this whole sequence of them doing the song. So he didn't think it was very funny and he thought that people would like it.
Interesting.
So he actually, I think at one point thought about just removing it because he didn't really think it fit or like it wouldn't be funny or audiences wouldn't get it. Luckily he kept it in because it is like absolutely iconic. And the song was going to be different, but it was Catherine O'Hara who recommended the music be Calypso.
Perfect.
Yes. And I think that was again,
the right
chef's kiss.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And it is kind of like out of nowhere, but it fits that like the characters, like they aren't scary people.
Right.
They would think that that would be scary.
Right.
Right. No, totally. They're not going to do like this, you know, violent or aggressive music. They're going to do this like
Adam and Barbara would think it's just like dancing, I guess, to a weird song.
Yeah. And then the
strange.
Well, they probably thought that the shrimp part was like,
that's it.
Holy
that's
a little cow. Aggressive. That was so intense. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, none of them were scared. In fact, they're all like, wow, this is amazing. We're going to come back. Like,
because
yeah,
Linnea goes up and knocks at the attic.
Yeah.
She's like, they want you guys to come down.
Yeah. And they're like, what?
Because of course they see it as dollar signs.
Yes.
They're going to be famous now.
That they like to have this be a thing.
It's an attraction.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Have people come to and their guests are super impressed.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh.
But then in the meantime, have they already called Beetlejuice, but he hasn't.
So they thought about calling Beetlejuice. They met him. They go out into the mall. Yep. They realize that he is not the best person.
He's too vulgar
to help you with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Barbara's like, I don't want Lydia to have to deal with him.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, to be around
him. Yeah, to be around him. So they met him, but they didn't use him.
Yes.
They ended up leaving.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think because they had said his name a few times,
mm-hmm.
that kind of opened the door for people to like be like, well, I don't care if you hired me. I'm coming in anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. When does he officially come?
He comes officially when Lydia goes up. It's Lydia that brings him.
That's what it is.
Because Lydia goes upstairs at mm-hmm. like the next day or something and sees him in the model
mm-hmm.
and plays like charades to guess his name with him because he can't say his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, that's what I said. It was Lydia.
Yeah, she's very much like, ooh, I don't know. She's nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's like, ooh, but I think she brings him in because she thinks this will help Barbara and Adam.
Well,
it's like couldn't say there
because it was during the seance.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
That they let her do, right?
Yes.
Because, so yes, they now see dollar signs on Adam and Barbara. We have real ghosts. Let's bring people in. Kind of like fast forwarding. Otho finds the book.
Yes.
We see him kind of like in the background.
And he like puts it in his coat
and he takes it and steals it.
Yep.
And so Adam and Barbara, like, they don't want to come be this attraction.
Right.
So they're trying to find a way to force them.
Yeah.
Which is why they perform this seance.
Yes.
And he starts, so this is kind of like skipping ahead, right? But he recites it, and then we see first Barbara disappear
mm-hmm.
and filling out her wedding dress. Because what they use as like the personal
item. Their wedding clothes was all they had left.
Yeah. So we see Barbara come first. And she's like levitating.
Yeah. Floating.
I remember this part scared me too.
Oh, me too. This part scared me. Like, this was the only part that scared me.
It's just so sad.
I know, because she looks so pained and anguished.
They bring her, they bring her back, she levitates, and she looks like Barbara, but then she is, like, rapidly, it's not even aging so much
as disintegrating.
Becoming a dead body versus a spirit.
Yeah.
So then
Adam comes up to into his suit, and like, I think he goes to like reach for her hand, and it's just
it crumbles.
And I think her shoe like falls off,
her shoe.
And her little shriveled foot.
Yes.
And they, you can tell that Alfred doesn't know how to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's like,
when people are like, okay, that's enough.
Oh, this isn't funny anymore. Funny. Like,
here's the thing. They're kind of, I feel like it's more that they're naive. It's mm-hmm. not that they're evil people or bad people. They're just kind of
self-centered.
They're just kind of self-centered. They're just kind of a little bit shallow on the surface.
Yeah.
I think that's more what it is.
They're not
malicious.
No, they're just a little naive and self-centered.
Exactly. For sure.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm. So that's when Lydia
goes upstairs to get Beetlejuice.
I think she asks, can you help them or something? Yeah. She's like, okay, yeah, sure. And I think he mentions at this point that he needs to get married.
Yes. He's like, well, to his thing is like,
well, okay. So it's that he can only come to the earth for like a job.
Yes.
But the only reason he can stay is if he gets married.
Oh,
so he says, okay. I will help them.
Uh-huh.
But he like bargains. He's like, I will help them if you marry me.
Because he doesn't want to like be able to be in the world of the living when someone invites him for the short
period. He wants to stay.
To be able to stay.
Yes. Right.
So he's like, I can do it if you marry me. He's just such a creep.
Blind ball.
Oh, he's creepy. Just constantly like vulgarly hitting on people and like is so.
And again, rewatching this in the year of our Lord 2023, and like it probably wouldn't fly that she's 16.
Yeah.
And he marries her.
At most,
Like at most, maybe 14. I don't know. She's a young teenage girl. She's like,
mm-hmm. But Lydia agrees to it because she's like, yeah, like it's fine. Just come help them.
Yes, whatever. Let's do this.
She's
a child.
Yes.
Right.
Just, every scene with Beetlejuice is so freaking iconic because I think this is when he appears as almost like the carnival. Right, it starts with attention, Kmart shoppers, as he's like coming out of the. It's so
and his
good.
Arms are the
they're ready to like roll out,
and they're like the hammer,
like the festival game, Chester string.
So then,
he uses his now like inflatable arms mm-hmm. to like punch the parents out of the room.
They're friends.
The friends.
The parents are forced to be like the witnesses.
Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, the friends are shot out of the roof and they're gone.
Yes. And then the statues is when they like come alive to come and hold the parents during the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Adam and Barbara are safe.
Yes.
Right? They're no longer decaying.
Yes.
But Beetlejuice, they want to try to stop this wedding with mm-hmm. Beetlejuice and Lydia. So Beetlejuice sends Adam into the model.
That's what it is, yes.
And then he sends Barbara into the sandworm
mm-hmm.
desert.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, like, they're alive. Oh, not alive.
They're back to their original ghost form.
Yeah, they're now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're in, I guess, danger.
Yeah. Right.
Because mm-hmm. Beetlejuice is then trying to go forward with the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then their outfits change to the red wedding outfits, which if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google it. It's iconic. Mm-hmm. Like Lydia in her red wedding dress mm-hmm. and then Beetlejuice in this amazing suit. Like
mm-hmm. black and white striped suit.
Yeah.
Which we should say, because we've talked about everybody else's costume. Mm-hmm. So Brianna, your husband with Beetlejuice.
Yes. Yeah.
Just because I feel like he is Beetlejuice.
He would be.
He's not so. He's
no,
not
here's the thing. He's not greasy.
No. He's like funny and like raucous. What is the word I'm trying to think?
Effervescent. I don't know.
He's just kind of funny and like outgoing and like, I don't know, like silly and charming.
Yeah, but he's like the best parts of Beetlejuice, but not any of the worst parts.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the right way.
I think so. Yes,
he's just kind of that like fun, outgoing personality. Mm-hmm. Like Beetlejuice is charming. That's how
he is charming.
Hire him, but then he takes it too far. So
exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then they begin the wedding, and they've got the parents. You know, basically like, what's the word I want to say?
Trapped.
In the statues. Mm-hmm. And yes, mm-hmm. so they're doing the wedding.
Mm-hmm. And then we see the fire. I thought that was a really cool effect too. The fireplace like opens.
Yeah. I remember loving that.
Yeah, like that's such a cool effect. You see the fireplace like lift up and widen into, again, that kind of like, it's like at a weird angle, yep. like, and then you see just like this creature,
yeah.
come out.
This little guy, this little guy,
little guy with a large head. Yes. Like, he looks like an alien.
He is almost like an alien, and he's the priest.
He's officiating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they're trying to move forward with the wedding, but again, like this is when Barbara and Adam are trying to stop. So maybe this is right before they get sent away.
Yeah, because I think each of them says it once. Or something.
Yeah.
And then that's when he
sends them first, away.
Like seals up their mouth or something and then sends them away. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, because if they say his name three times again, he's going to be sent back to the world of
right.
the dead. Mm-hmm. So they try to say the name. Beetlejuice like sends them away, puts a, like a, it almost,
it's like a,
like a plate.
It's like a metal plate. It's like a metal plate on to mm-hmm. Barbara's mouth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then even Lydia is now not wanting to go through with the wedding.
Right.
So it's so cool because what he does is he puts, he almost does like a ventriloquism type thing. Mm-hmm. He like uses her voice to say like, I love this man of mine.
Yeah. I like, am of sound mind.
Yeah. So good.
Oh. And then it's the sandworm, right?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. Barbara comes busting through the walls
to save the day.
And she is riding like a cowgirl is like riding the sandworm.
Yes.
Like amazing.
Who just gobbles up Beetlejuice.
Yeah. He lands on Beetlejuice and he's gone.
Earlier in the movie, you got like just like a small line of Beetlejuice talking about how he hates the sandworms.
Oh, that's right.
So I think I feel like you're kind of supposed to assume it's like there's something there between Beetlejuice and the sandworms.
Yes.
Barbara mm-hmm. would be able to figure that out.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so then, you know, they go and hug Lydia and it's like, oh yay. And you know, the world is right again.
It is right again.
Well, and then it's really cool because once they've been through this kind of trauma altogether of mm-hmm. surviving Beetlejuice, then the Maitlands and the Dietzes mm-hmm. end up being able to live together in harmony in this house.
Yeah. It's so cute. Really cute.
Mm-hmm. Like, so wholesome. So they also do mention that Barbara and Adam, again, this movie is so sad.
Yeah.
It's so funny, but it's so sad. Mm-hmm. So they mention how, you know, they wanted to have kids and couldn't.
Yeah.
But they then are kind of like co-parenting.
They are.
With Lydia's biological parents.
Yes.
And they're all living together. They're like helping her study for her math test. And mm-hmm. the deal is if she gets a B or a passing grade or something, mm-hmm. They'll do something funny for her.
Yep. Let her fly.
Right. Yeah. So,
exactly.
So she gets the score that they were all aiming for. And then mm-hmm. they kind of like, levitate her and she's singing again.
It's so cute.
It's so cute.
And like, doesn't the football team?
The football team like, too, in like, the background doing the dance.
They're characters we met earlier in the world of the
dead. Oh, yeah, the dead.
Yeah. They had all crashed. They kept calling the caseworker coach.
Yeah,
come on, coach. Super annoyed with
coach, help me.
So
honestly, it's like the little details of this movie that I think make the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
But yeah, that's it. The end. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, that's it.
So originally, the original script was significantly darker.
Mm.
And I'm kind of curious to know your guys' thoughts on it. So the story was, the original version of it that was like given to Tim Burton was way darker.
Okay.
But it was entirely rewritten to get the version that we got.
Okay.
So in the original version, the original script, which was written by McDowell, I think is how you pronounce that,
mm-hmm.
who honestly sounds kind of like a fascinating person. I think he's just obsessed with death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was obsessed with death. He would collect a bunch of stuff about, like, death and, like, funerals. And so I see why he wrote this, mm-hmm. you know? You can see the inspiration there. But he was ultimately let go because of you know, differences. So in the original script, the Maitland's car crash was going to be a lot more graphic.
Mm.
So you would see Barbara's arm get crushed as they both screamed and slowly drowned.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Was going to be the original part of it. Oh, there is apparently a small reference, which I didn't even catch when we watched it. But at one point, Barbara talks about how her arm feels frozen.
Yes.
And that was part of that. It's because we see her in the original script, her arm was like broken.
Yeah.
The crash.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. She does mention that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then instead of having the very iconic dance scene during dinner, the Maitlands were going to create like a vine patterned carpet that would then come to life and like tingle and attach everyone into their chairs.
Creepy.
So definitely creepier than what they had. And for the character of Beetlejuice, it was originally going to be like a winged demon.
Okay.
Interesting.
That would play that character.
Uh-huh.
Also, a lot darker, instead of wanting to marry Lydia, it was that he wanted to have sex with Lydia in the script, which, like, good call changing that.
Yeah, that's good call, Tim Burton.
Yeah, yeah, good call changing that.
Good call.
And also, it was that once Beetlejuice was summoned or set free, he couldn't be returned. So it was like once, it was like more dramatic.
Yeah, like
where it was like, if he was able to get someone to get him out, that's it. Like there's nothing anyone can do to get him back in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, like very, very different.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about
that. It's very, very different.
One of the things you mentioned that they were going to have Beetlejuice being like a winged beast or something.
Yes.
That just made me think about one of my favorite scenes. And it's so random. We didn't talk about it. Was at one point Beetlejuice is in the model. And I think Barbara picks him up and she's trying to like scold him for being bad.
Right.
Yeah. For being kind of like a piece of shit.
Yes.
So she picks him up and he's like the size of a fly.
Right.
And she picks him up and she's like, you stop that. And then he puts these spikes into him. So he's like this spiky ball. And she's like, oh, like this helps her. And so then he's just like wandering around in the model with this like inflated, like spiky ball outfit that he's wearing. Mm-hmm. And he like goes into this thing where it's like girls, girls, girls.
Oh yeah.
And it's like really kind of like this, like, I don't know if it's like a whorehouse or what.
Right.
Like, hey, that's, Juno is the one who came up with it. Right. She's like, that was my idea.
Try to distract him.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's so funny. It's just,
I know.
It's just so good.
Okay. So then, there were also two other endings.
Oh,
okay.
One, which again, probably good they didn't go with, was that in the end, Lydia would die to join her friends in the afterlife.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was like she would die in a fiery blaze. So I don't know what they mean by in fire, but something would happen. And I think the idea was that that would be a happy ending, that she would end up with Barbara and Adam as like a joining your friends in the afterlife, and they decided to quickly nix that.
Yeah, good
because
call.
That's probably not a good thing
message
to show people.
Right.
As like, oh, actually, this is a happy ending.
Good call.
And then the other one was that the, I guess, kind of like the exorcism, like the ritual would be more successful and destroy Beetlejuice, and somehow the Maitlands would end up being transformed into miniature versions that could move into the model.
Huh.
Oh,
okay.
So they would be tiny and living in Adam's model.
Mm-hmm.
So with this really dark one, I did think it was funny. So the producer, Larry Wilson, who ended up producing the movie, he saw the original script and said, hey, let's like make something with it. And so he took it to an exec at Universal Studios. And he said, and I'm just going to read this quote, "This piece of weirdness, this is what you're going to go out into the world with. You're developing into a very good executive. You've got great taste, but you're going to squander all of that for this piece of shit."
Oh my gosh.
So they did not agree that this would be a good movie.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, I mean, there are definitely a couple different things that they were going to change, but like, what are your thoughts on like moving it away from like a really dark thing to more of like a comedy?
I mean, it's interesting because I think like, I can only imagine when you're doing a movie, like there is so much in the air, like up in the air, like it's a real gamble of whether this is going to take or not. Like, there's no assurances, there's no guarantee. And so I think especially when you change it, that's a real risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But part of me thinks, I feel like it also really fit the era that it came out in.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't make it darker, because I think like mm-hmm. this kind of comedy, it was so unique, mm-hmm. but still fit in with the era.
Yeah. That I think it came out is in. What makes it
yes.
unique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, I mm-hmm. think it was the right call in yeah. my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've said it before in some previous episodes, but I think I like things either really dark and effed up mm-hmm. or,
huge. Full-blown right. comedy. Yeah.
Right. Cute comedy. And so I love this movie so much, and we'll get into it when we talk about our ratings, but mm-hmm. I can see the dark version also being really good,
mm-hmm.
but for how Tim Burton does things, I think it yeah. was the right call to make it
I cute. Think a different director could have made a darker version.
It's almost like I want them to go and do that.
I want, yes.
I kind of want a world in which they do both.
Now, yes, okay.
I want a dark beautiful yes. as well.
We should say that like, we have this weird propensity to theme our costume on something popular in pop culture without you ever knowing it. That's I don't know how.
Yeah,
we always do that. It's honestly, it's
yeah.
it's kind of, we should be studying.
It's like we pick our costumes months in advance.
Oh yeah.
Oh so yeah. We pick them and then something happens.
Like someone was asking when we start planning our costumes, and I was like, oh, like November 1st.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not really, but we do it like, mm-hmm. you know.
We do it in the, like, develop the ideas for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is the Beetlejuice 2 coming out. So mm-hmm. I will be curious to see what they do with that.
I will
be. Yes. I honestly can't believe it took them so long.
Yeah, that many years, yeah. right?
So what happened was Beetlejuice was a giant success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the first Tim Burton movie to win an Oscar.
Mm.
They had a tiny budget of like $15 million.
Wow.
The visual effects was only $1 million. They had $1 million for effects.
Wow.
And it grossed $74 million.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
giant success.
Yep.
And I guess what happened is that, like, it was so successful, they created plans for a sequel. And it was going to be titled Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian. I don't know what that means. I don't think that's what they're going for.
It would not have been
I don't
good.
That's the current sequel. So maybe oh it's God. Good that it got delayed.
That would be so weird.
So
I love it.
They have this sequel. They have people signed on. So Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder signed on. They yeah. were like, we're ready for this sequel. And Tim Burton just kind of lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to just go do Batman. And he really liked doing Batman. And he just kind of gave up on okay. doing Beetlejuice again.
All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was kind of just put on the shelf.
Yeah.
And I think they're working on it right now because it has
they are.
A 2024 release date.
Yeah. Not much else has been
no.
released
no, we
about
know,
it
We know
at
the
all.
Cast. We know.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that Michael Keaton did say, like, okay.
Yeah, he's
I will.
Back on.
But
I think that was a big asterisk, was
yeah.
like, only if Michael Keaton will come back.
Right.
Will reprise
okay.
the role of Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Which, good asterisk. Because
yes.
he, I feel like since he developed the character so much,
he deserves the respect of
yeah, it's gotta be
remaining
him. Do it successfully. That's
I agree.
His vision. Yeah, he made up like 90% of the lines that he created Beetlejuice.
I agree.
The character.
Yes,
yes.
He did.
Also, funny enough, the Universal didn't like the name Beetlejuice.
Hmm.
So they tried to change it. So they thought about doing House Ghosts. House Ghosts. And then as a joke, Tim Burton threw out the name Scared Sheetless. And I guess they considered it. They were like, oh, honestly? And he was like, no, like, that was a joke. Like, don't.
Yeah, like, you guys, what are you doing?
I don't mind that one.
Oh my gosh.
I don't mind that one. It's amazing. That's amazing. So
yeah.
good.
Okay, I only have a couple more fun facts because I think we've talked about most of them. But one is that pretty much everyone on the cast said no to doing this movie.
Huh.
All of the main characters read the script and said, that's too weird, or I don't get it, and just said no. So Tim Burton had to convince every single person
wow.
to come do this movie. But that was funny that they all read it and it was like, I don't know. I don't think so. I kind of get it. I mean, especially if there were any remnants of the original script, like, I don't know what version
right.
the actors were given when
oh, that's true.
Making the decision. So
right. Right.
especially some of those earlier, darker drafts.
I would understand
I
saying
see
no.
being like, I don't know if that's the direction I want to go.
That would be fair.
And another one, which we noticed this watch through, but I didn't notice last time, when Adam and Barbara are in Juno's office and you see like a window in her office with like skeletons
Yeah.
Watching through. I guess the idea was like, you know, you would be watching this in a theater, and the idea is that the world of the living and the dead, like, we can all watch. And so that was supposed to be like the dead watching this movie through that window.
Cool.
Which I think is actually kind of neat.
Like, I like that.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay. And so that was the dead watching. Because it's funny. I have this new ridiculously large TV. And so I feel like I've watched this movie so many times, but I've never really noticed those people. Yeah. But because we were watching it on this giant TV, I noticed it.
Well, your TV is like life size, so
it is.
Yeah.
So I feel like had I watched this in the theater, it would have been the same effect. Right. Like, you'd actually see
where you see that. It's like, wait, oh, okay,
cool,
okay.
Even though the name of the movie is Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton only appears for 14 and a half minutes of the film.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's the only.
Less than 15 minutes.
I mean, can believe that.
I can see that it's not most of the movie, but that's it.
Yeah.
Dang. Right?
Because I picture lots of the characters in this movie, but he is just so memorable and good.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't even show up for like half an hour.
Oh, no. He doesn't show up for a long time.
It takes a long time.
So it does take a while.
Yeah. It's just kind of crazy. 15 minutes and like how much of an effect he had, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done, Michael.
Well done, Michael Keaton. Well done.
Okay. Some other ones are, this was the first DVD sent out by Netflix.
Oh, my gosh. That's cool. The good old days.
Happy.
Yes. That was all the fun facts I had.
Oh, those are pretty good.
So is it time to get into some psych?
I say we do it.
I say we get into some psych.
All right. Just remember, folks, she is not a real doctor, but it's okay because they are not real people.
Yes.
And in this case, most of them are dead.
Yep. Exactly. Speaking of, let's talk about humans and our thoughts of our own mortality.
That's my favorite subject to talk about.
Let's just keep it light today.
Should we phone my therapist in?
Yes. So,
special guest.
All of our therapists.
We have a therapist.
So, yeah, just a little light topic. Really, this is very existential. It's a little bit psych, but it's a little bit existential.
Mm-hmm.
Humans are unique in that we can actually conceptualize our own mortality. So, the thought is that most other living creatures do not think of their own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
But this threat of mortality really leads to some pretty big defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I was reading all these studies where they've done MRIs or like functional MRIs, mm-hmm. where there are certain parts of our brain that activate when you connect the thoughts of death and the thoughts of yourself. They activate, mm-hmm. and it's almost like our brain physically has these mechanisms to stop us from connecting thoughts of ourself and thoughts of death.
Wow.
It's like we put these blinders on.
Yeah.
Because it goes against the survival instinct that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So really, most of the time when we think of death, we think of it in relation to other people. Now, we know we're going to die,
mm-hmm.
but it creates this almost kind of like existential crisis.
Yeah.
Where you don't, like, you can't connect those two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So while we can rationally accept the fact that we will die, we also think of it more like, oh, that's going to happen to the other guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So because this is such like a conflict with what we do to live,
mm-hmm.
thinking about our own death, the only way to cope with it is really like denial and distraction.
Okay.
So we do things to distract ourselves. We work hard. We have children.
Mm-hmm.
We get busy. We talk about an afterlife mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
Because we really try to distract ourselves from our own deaths.
Start a podcast, like, just the usual.
Start a podcast.
Here we are.
So I feel like that's what this whole movie is about. The fact, like, coming to terms with your own death and what that would be like.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of interesting to think about those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem, though.
Uh-oh.
Death is not a problem you can solve.
No.
Yeah.
It is not something that will go away. Mm-hmm. And it's really, there's so much more I could get into, but I know like we don't have like all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. But because death is never something that you can fix, you can mm-hmm. fix a lot of things.
Yeah.
With yourself, right. with your mental health, yeah. with the world, but you cannot fix death. It will not go away.
Yeah. There's no self-help there's books no, about death.
No.
Right.
Like yeah. that like cheese joke, like no one gets out of here alive.
Hong Kong.
A nice fucking model.
But because of that, the need to escape it never goes away. Mm-hmm. So it leads to just this, you know, constant, it's this like dichotomy of, you know, trying to live your life to the fullest while also realizing that you will just then die.
Yeah.
It's actually really fucking depressing.
Yeah. I remember being like 11 or mm-hmm. something. And I remember just like cleaning the house. And it was one of those where like, I remember that thought. Like entered my, like, I think I was sweeping and then I was like, oh my God, one day I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it. Like, I was like, I just realized that, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, that was like such a weird thing where it's like, well, of course, I mean, I was 11, so I never thought about that, but it was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. It's going to happen one day.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because mm-hmm. I don't have very, very many strong, like, full mm-hmm. photographic memories
yeah,
kind of same. Events in my life. Mm-hmm. But I do of the first time yeah. I realized I was going to die. Mm-hmm. I was in our bunk beds. We were living in mm-hmm. Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And I was in the bed and I was trying to fall asleep. And I just tried to picture nothingness.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I die, it's just nothing. There's no, because for me at the time I was thinking, well, okay, if you know, heaven or afterlife doesn't exist, mm-hmm. you're just nothing. And I was like, mm-hmm. and that's one of the theories that goes behind this existential thoughts of death yeah. is trying to bridge that gap of that dichotomous of there. You try to find meaning in your life.
Yeah.
But then you also realize it's then over.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Nothing matters yep. really.
Right.
Is the point of my psych.
Yes. It's really positive.
No, I had a very similar experience. For me, it was New Hampshire when okay. we was there. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was the ages of like preteen ages, like 9 to 11, I think.
Yeah.
That's when New Hampshire.
All of us
yeah, it was. And I would, so I was really scared of the house that we lived in New Hampshire.
Well, because it was haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my room had this rose wallpaper and then it had these red lights. And for the time, this was very like ahead of its time because mm-hmm. the light had like a swirl in it. And I feel like now those kind of bulbs. Yeah. are everywhere, but they weren't back yeah. then. Mm-hmm. But like, I would leave that one on to like sleep at night so I could like not be in the dark. Mm-hmm. But for almost the entire 3 years, I would just have this like repetitive experience of like going to fall asleep and then just imagining like, what is death? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would cause myself to then experience a panic attack.
Yeah,
I now know that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But like, I would get so freaked out at the idea of being nothing, like yeah, you were saying, but then also just also being something. You're something enough where like, mm-hmm. you're just, I used to just think of like your brain just floating in space and like yeah. how fucking terrifying that is. And you know, that's why I'm now in therapy. So like, you know, but yes,
yeah.
similar vibes.
No, I mean, it's one of those universal experiences of living life, but also understanding that one day that's then over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think this movie does a really good job of trying to grapple with, I mean, they do it in a way where it's almost like once you're dead, you have this new life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even Juno explains like they're going to live in their home for 125 years.
Right.
And they take it out. Mm-hmm. So it's almost this, you know, new experience and timeline that they'll have.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things where everyone kind of at some point is going to go through
yeah.
those thoughts of your own death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a normal thing. There is, though, if you take it to the next level, there is something called thanatophobia.
Oh.
And that's the intense fear of death or the dying process. Mm-hmm. Or in other words, death anxiety. So
yeah.
that's
yeah.
like that. So everyone, it's very normal.
Right.
Realizing you're going to die, thinking that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is we don't, No. Mm-hmm. So because we cannot have
Right.
What's the word I'm trying to think of? Irreparable or what's
yes,
the word?
Yes, that was it.
We can't have that. We can't have proof. Like we can't
have
like definitive right.
proof mm-hmm. of what's going to happen after we die. It's scary.
Yes.
We don't know. We have no evidence. We have no evidence.
Yeah.
So like, and the our brains cannot, they literally have that physical mm-hmm. mechanism to stop us from imagining mm-hmm. death and nothingness.
And and we as humans just have that propensity to like to know what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. we just didn't, that's why we have, you know, travel mm-hmm. agents. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. we like to know what is going to happen next.
Yeah. It's like we're two in our own heads. So, yeah. Instead of us being like my cat who just wanders around, lives life, and is totally happy
yeah.
because she doesn't care or know, and it doesn't matter. She's
right.
in the moment. We're
cursed with
miserable
about our own mortality.
Yeah. We're just miserable as human beings.
Okay, I have a little bit more about the death part, but I think I'm going to save that for another.
Uh-huh. No, like I think that was perfect.
It's been a good conversation.
Yes.
I do have one more thing to talk about.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I thought, this movie is so good because of the personalities.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, the characters.
Are
what make this movie.
Just, mm-hmm. are who they are mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. can just say their name and most of us yes. are able to like think of them yes. like
yeah
yes. yeah definitely.
So then I started thinking about the classifications of personalities, which I will say mm-hmm. I was in my master's program. I was trained on doing some personality tests.
Okay.
I think most of them are what you would quote unquote call a pseudoscience. They're okay. not like mm-hmm.
right.
legit. But they actually do have a really interesting background and function.
Mm.
So when thinking of the different personalities, the first, like, do either of you know any personality tests?
I've definitely taken uh-huh. them, but I don't remember.
I know personality disorders. I've taken those.
Right. I'm thinking more.
What's the one with like the four letters or yes. something?
So
I've taken that one.
You're thinking of the Myers-Briggs.
Okay. Yeah. I've taken that one too. Yeah.
So that's the one I went with. So
okay.
Probably everyone has taken the Myers-Briggs, which
yeah.
I have also taken that one. Mm-hmm. It's not, one that I've been trained to give, but it's really, really well known. Usually it's used for the work.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, what I didn't realize is that was created by a mom-daughter duo.
Cute. Oh.
Yeah. So it was created by this mom and her daughter because it was at a time when women were more entering the workforce because of, mm-hmm. War. I forget what year it was.
Yeah.
They were thinking, why are women struggling to be accepted and comfortable in the workforce?
Yeah.
And so they came up with this theory of, well, it's because there's different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So within the Myers-Briggs, you can get a total of a combination of 16.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. there's four opposite types mm-hmm. of personalities on either side. There's introverted versus extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
You're either sensing or you're intuitive.
Okay.
You are then either thinking or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're either judging or perceiving.
Okay.
So I thought I'm going to explain them. And then just for the main characters, just for a few, we mm-hmm. can say what yeah. letters we think they are. And then I'm going to tell you what job they are ideally suited
for. Oh, I love this.
Love.
Okay. Okay, yes.
All right. So. First letter we're just going to go Beetlejuice right off the bat.
Yeah,
I already put what I thought his letters are, but let's come up with a group consensus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Introverted versus extroverted.
Extroverted.
So yeah. Are you a people person or do you need to recharge through alone time? Definitely he's an E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
E for sure.
All right. Sensing versus intuition. You are more of an S if you gather and process information.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so do you methodically make decisions or do you go on gut instinct?
I'm gonna go with gut.
I think he's a gut.
Same.
I don't think he thinks about
no, same.
Long.
Mm-hmm. Thinking versus feeling. So this is based on how you make decisions. Mm-hmm. Are you driven by logic or do emotions guide you?
Emotions. 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So far you're matching what I was thinking of. All right. The last one is judging versus perceiving. Mm-hmm. So this is how you are influenced by the world around you. Mm-hmm. Do you carefully make decisions or are you more... do circumstances and whims kind of... Are you subject to whims?
Same. I'll go with the whims.
Great. So... Beetlejuice is an ENFP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought this was very interesting then. His ideal jobs would be campaign manager.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. A dance instructor.
I would love to see that.
An editor. I'm sure about that one. This one I thought was hilarious considering he lives in the model. An urban planner.
Love.
So no bio exorcist.
Or this one is just... freaking ironic. A youth mentor.
No. No. Keep this man away from
me. Joy almost spit out my drink. Like, I...
at all costs.
Oh, my God. So good. Okay, do we... I know we don't have too much time left. Should we do one, maybe two more people?
Yeah,
let's maybe do Lydia.
Lydia's a good...
Should we do Lydia? Yeah, Lydia. So, Lydia, introverted versus extroverted?
Very introverted.
She's an introvert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We then have sensing versus intuition. So does she go on gut or does she methodically make decisions?
Oh, see, it's interesting.
Okay. Here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think because she's able to see the ghosts, she, mm-hmm. I think she's more gut.
I think
she is very careful, but we'll get, right. I actually think a couple letters down.
Yeah.
I think she's more gut.
Agreed.
She's more
yeah.
gut.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thinking versus feeling.
Mm-hmm.
This is logic versus emotions.
Oh shit.
I mean, she's a very emotional gal.
She is. I think emotions. Because I think she's like super smart mm-hmm. and like intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
there's a lot of emotion in yep. her character.
Here's Agreed. Where I maybe think we're going to get to our conflict earlier.
Okay.
Where we weren't sure because as far as being influenced by the world around, does she carefully consider decisions
mm-hmm.
versus being subject to whim? Here's where I think
she's subjected to whim.
You think
so? I think so.
I think she more carefully makes decisions. I think she's driven by her emotions she's feeling, but she more carefully makes those decisions.
Okay, but did we see her actually carefully make any decisions in the
no,
movie?
No, but we did see her subjected to whim.
I think she more reacts.
Oh, you're right.
I think she's more like she experiences what's happening, and then she'll yeah. like react based off of that.
Yeah.
See, because I was thinking more the way she approached Barbara and Adam was more she carefully thought through what to do versus like just being like reactive.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she saved them, you're right. I think it's a
and theme. I actually think you could say that was even reactive yeah. in itself.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So should we see what that would place her at
yes.
for jobs?
Yes.
And then we could try mine, what I thought originally, mm-hmm. and see which one we think most.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, this you guys are right. Okay. Career ideas for Lydia would be artist.
Okay. Of course. Yes.
Film editor.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Journalist.
Mm-hmm.
Museum curator.
Yes.
Or a nurse.
I think all of
those. I think those are all. Well.
Okay, but let's see what it would have been had we gone with.
Because you're thinking for the last one.
Right.
Yeah, so this is an INFP, you guys thought, or INFJ, which mm-hmm. is what I made
okay.
that. And I think
okay.
I am an INFJ. I can't remember what I
said.
At some point, we should like have us take this. Okay. So an INFJ is known as the advocate.
She's kind
of okay. I am an INFJ. That's so funny. Okay. So an INFJ would be HR manager,
mm-hmm.
massage therapist, physical therapist.
He's not peoply enough for that.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Psychologist.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think she's people person enough.
Or school counselor.
Yeah, no. I would say she was.
No, I think you're right. Okay. I'm going to, mm-hmm. I actually, before I decided on doing the Myers-Briggs, I was playing around with different personality tests.
Yeah.
And I took one as Beetlejuice, and it was so fun to live as another person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was like this chaotic, like, situation I came up with. I forget what it ended up being. I decided to scrap that and go with this one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we could like take the personality test as someone else, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So I just thought the personalities of all these characters. So Lydia and Beetlejuice are only one letter different.
They are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they are so different in what drives them, introverted versus extroverted.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the mm-hmm. personalities in this movie are so good.
Yeah. They are. No, yeah.
So,
they
agree.
And I totally agree. Different.
Yeah.
You know, like the main characters are drastically different people, mm-hmm. which I think is what makes it so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, someday go and check out all the Myers-Briggs and see if you could figure out all the rest of the Beetlejuice
yes.
characters.
Yes. That'd
be fun to do.
That would be so
but we're just
going to
stick with Beetlejuice and Lydia because yes. I feel like that's
enough. That would be so fun.
That's enough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my site.
Oh my
today.
Gosh. Fantastic.
Short and quick.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think for today we had a longer fun facts background with all the alternate versions mm-hmm. and stuff. So I think we'll skip this time in history.
Yeah.
I think we may have even done something right around this time before. So, we'll
yep.
skip it. Mm-hmm. I will say though, was a quick before we end, this movie has such iconic lines. Are there any iconic lines that we haven't talked about that are your guys' favorite?
So I love the line from Juno where she's like, never trust the living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's such a good line.
Yeah.
Like, it's simple, but I love that line.
Yeah.
I just feel like I want to call her Moira. I know she's not.
I know.
I love Delia's character so much. And I know it's like kind of a thing going around on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I love the line where she says, if you don't let me. Gut out this house and make it my own. I forget exactly now what the line is.
She's going to be driven to insanity and she's bringing him with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I will bring you with me. Like, I love all of her lines so much. I know I just butchered it.
No,
but
yeah,
yeah. The idea. So, yeah.
I also love Delia's when they're moving in with her art,
yes.
when it like traps her for a second. She's like, this is my art and it is dangerous.
And just like the way she says it.
I want to meet her someday.
Yes.
I know.
I mean, I know the like two episodes ago, or maybe it was last episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was too drunk.
Yeah.
But, I know I like was raving about Kevin Bacon, but really I love Catherine O'Hara.
I know.
Oh, no, she is
Catherine.
I know.
If you would like to be on this.
Oh.
Anytime.
Literally anytime.
Would love to have you.
Anytime. We will make it happen.
Yes. Or Winona. Anyone.
Anyone.
Anyone from this movie.
Yeah.
All right, Sippers. So we are very excited for next time.
We haven't given our rating.
Oh, shit. What am I doing?
Back up.
Hold the phone.
Back up.
Hang on. All right, so here on Spooky Sips, we don't give stars, we give sips. So ladies, out of 5 sips, how many sips do you give Beetlejuice?
Okay, I will say it's not scary.
Right.
And it is technically not even a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
We are adding it because it's like spooky kind
adjacent.
Of theme. Spooky adjacent.
Spooky
yeah.
adjacent.
It's a spooky adjacent
perfect.
Movie. So I feel like is the rating, are we just giving this a general?
Yeah, let's just give it a general movie rating. It does not have to be, because a lot of times, like, mm-hmm. I adjust my sips mm-hmm. to how scary it is.
Yeah.
Let's not do that this time. Let's just rate it as a movie.
Just
yeah, general, should you watch it?
Yeah.
In the past, we've done, like, scary versus general. So
right.
Yeah, like,
yeah this is our
general.
Scary with an asterisk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just as a general, do you guys know?
I think for me, I am going to have to give this, oh man, I don't know if I want to go that high. I almost want to say 4.5.
Damn.
I know, because I love this movie.
It's true.
There is something about it where like, I will stop what I'm doing when it's on and I will watch it, which I feel like
oh,
I
it draws
do
you in
for a
sure.
lot. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I just, there's so many things I could say as to why I love it,
mm-hmm.
but I think that it is a quintessential movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is like, it takes us into the world of the dead.
Oh yeah.
We get to play pretend
mm-hmm.
and be in that space. And I love that. So
yes.
yeah, I gotta say 4.5.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't thinking that high. I think I'm gonna go right, like just below. I was thinking of 4.
Okay.
For mine. It is an absolute must watch movie. Also, like bonus points because I think it's only an hour and a half.
Exactly.
And I love a 90 minutes.
Us on Spooky Steps love a 90.
4.25. Like 4.25.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
4.25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I know we already did it. If you haven't been to my bathroom, but Spooky Sippers, if you haven't been to my basement, I have a movie watching room. And in it, my husband and I carefully curated several movie posters, and we had to pick our top 5 movies of all time.
Yeah.
To put the movie posters on our wall where we watch our movies and spend the majority of our time.
Yep.
Beetlejuice is on there.
Yep. Yeah.
It's sure one is, of the few
it's the top movies that's 5. On there.
Yeah. So I will say if I was rating as a horror movie, I think I'd give it like a 4 because it's a great movie, but not scary.
Yeah. Right.
But I have to say something about this movie, it like gets my soul. Mm-hmm. It's the cheese. It's just so, I'm so dichotomous. Speaking of like, you know, thoughts of death and life. No. Yeah. Like I love the really dark, scary, awful horror, but I also love the super cheesy, like wholesome. Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie to me is a 5.
This is a 5. Damn.
I love this movie so much. I
love it.
So it's a 5.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
High overall.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So if for some reason you haven't seen it yet,
so let's see what happened based on our party interactions.
First, get the hell out of my house. Second, go watch it.
Yeah. Watch it. And then go you watch can come back.
And then you can
Exactly.
Yes.
So next time on Spooky Sips, we are watching a great movie. I personally love it myself. It's called The Skeleton Key.
Yes.
Has our girl Kate Hudson in it. It's got that southern spooky feel.
It's perfect November scary movie.
Yes. So good. So if you haven't seen that yet, get watching and get sipping. And we'll see you next time on Spooky Sips.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Spooky Sips. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. To stay up to date on all the spooky things we're up to, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at SpookySips_podcast. And if you want to help support the podcast, consider buying us a coffee, or really a cocktail. We are completely independent, so every little bit goes a long way to keeping our podcast running and improving. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.